Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony O'Hoolihan says now is the time to move to strengthen the measures further, to try to spend 2 weeks to really suppress the transmission of the virus as much as is possible in the community. He says that in the order of 50% of cases identified have no links that tell us how they picked up the infection. This tells us, he said, the virus is in the community.
We still see something in the order of 50% of cases identified with no links that can be identified for those individual cases that tell us how that individual picked up that infection. And this tells us that the virus is in the community. And we think in the early course of this infection, with the support that we've had from the public, that with these additional strengthening measures, we can drive the infection back out of the community and more into households, and that we can continue our public health advice to people who have symptoms to self-isolate for 14 days, to make contact with their GP, and that their household contacts isolate with them. We think this measure, when we look at the number of contacts per case, will significantly interrupt the transmission of this virus, which is our objective, and turn the infection, which is a community-based infection, into one that's a household-based infection. And we think that that can have an impact not only in the transmission of the virus, but importantly in the progression that we've seen in the serious infections that have resulted in intensive care admission, and ultimately feeding through into protecting and saving lives as much as we possibly can. And so we've advised again that in respect of this range of measures, that rapid, early, comprehensive, coherent advice of this kind, in line with the advice that we have from the European Centre for Disease Control, is necessary and will help to drive this infection from the community in the way in which I've set out.
That's the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony O'Hoolihan. Let's speak now to the Minister for Health, Simon Harris. Good morning and thank you for speaking to us today.
Good morning, Gavin.
Why now? Why this day? Why have you chosen to introduce these measures at this particular time?
So for a couple of reasons, as outlined by the Chief Medical Officer, we're now seeing a very significant amount of what we call community transmission of the virus. So we've gone a very long way from this being a virus that, you know, arrives in on a plane or is based on somebody going on holidays to some part of the world. This is something that is very much in our country now, and we have to look at a way of slowing down the spread of this virus. And the most effective way of doing that is making sure we stay apart from each other. The second reason is, this week we saw new advice published from the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control. They're the European experts we rely on as well. And they've now said that if countries take effective and significant mitigation measures, you can very significantly lower the risk of this virus in your country. But if you don't take those measures now, the risk of very widespread national and prolonged transmission becomes very high. So I suppose the message that we've been receiving from our experts is that now is the time to move up a gear, to take decisive action. We know it's going to be extremely challenging for people. I know there's a lot of people listening to this programme who are worried and who are anxious. But the prize here, if you like, the national objective and goal is to save lives. And when we saw what's happened in other member states of the European Union, you know, nearly 1,000 deaths in Italy only yesterday, I don't say that to frighten people, but this is why we're doing these measures, to keep people alive, to slow down the virus, to protect your family. And we do need people's support. So right throughout this, government's taken action, doctors, nurses and healthcare professionals are going above and beyond and working flat out. The key to this though, the absolute key to this now, is for the next fortnight, everybody doing exactly as they're asked, which put very bluntly means stay at home, except in extraordinarily limited circumstances.
The people who can't stay at home, the doctors, nurses, healthcare professional workers that you mentioned, are amongst those who are at most risk of contracting the virus. Around 23% of cases so far fall into that category. And one of the people who has died is a healthcare worker, or was a healthcare worker. They're very worried about protecting themselves at work and running out of equipment.
Yes, they are. And they're right to highlight this. And I want them to know we have their back. We, the Irish people, we, the government, all of us have their back. There is a global shortage, let's be very honest, of personal protective equipment. We're seeing lots of countries competing to secure this. The good news for our healthcare workers and our health services is that the HSE has secured a very significant amount. We usually buy about €15 million worth of what we call personal protective equipment, face masks, gowns, goggles, shields, etc. in a year. this year we're going to spend €225 million. The question every healthcare worker wants to know is, well, when is it going to arrive? The first flight is due back from China tomorrow, with about €20 million worth. And then I think there are 10 flights due between then and the 1st of April. So from tomorrow, we will have flights arriving on a daily basis, bringing millions and millions of pieces of personal protective equipment. And we're going to continue to do everything we possibly can to secure as much as we can. But I want people to know that it will start arriving here in our country tomorrow afternoon.
There have been many people who have already been staying at home, people who from the start of this outbreak were concerned that they would be vulnerable to getting sick, people who have underlying conditions, for example. Can you tell me what you're asking people over the age of 70, healthy people over the age of 70, who wouldn't have felt they would have fallen into a vulnerable category, to do from today?
Absolutely, because let's be honest, 70 is not old in our modern world, not in any way. But we do know that people over the age of 70 are at an increased risk of picking up this virus, but actually more importantly, at an increased risk of getting very sick from this virus. So what we are asking you to do is cocoon. Perhaps that's a funny term, a peculiar term, but it effectively means we need you to stay in your home for 2 weeks. So whilst people like me, in my age bracket, we're being told we can go to the supermarket for essential goods, we can go out and take exercise, we're asking you not to do that if you fall into that category, and instead make sure the supports are brought to you. Now, I want people to know, nobody is going to be left alone in this regard. So your family, your friends, your neighbours can still drop you food. They need to obviously respect the social distancing guidelines. Many retailers are obviously now delivering food, and I expect further announcements from retailers today and over the course of the weekend. The Alone helpline, which RTÉ have very helpfully been giving out, is available 7 days a week for any older person or medically vulnerable person. And they can ensure if you need access to food, other advice or essential things, they can point you in the right direction and ensure that happens. And each local authority will be publishing its contact details in terms of how they can provide you with support as well. So we're not going to be left alone here. But the reason we're asking you to stay indoors, though, is to protect you. And we know that this is a virus that the older you are, the more likely it is to have a very severe impact on you. So please, please, please do stay indoors, but we will make sure the supports get to you. And just to give you an example, when I met with An Post this week with the Taoiseach, they've now decided, the post men and women across this country, not asked by government, not asked by management, they themselves have decided that they're going to start providing extra services to older people and vulnerable people. They obviously know where many people live in our community. And they'll start whilst respecting the social distancing guidelines and checking in on older people as they go about their business as well.
For older people who can't cocoon themselves or be shielded, for people who are vulnerable, who can't isolate themselves if they have symptoms, for people in nursing homes who can't be separated to that extent, people in direct provision, homeless people in hubs, people in prisons, what's going to happen to them when they're unable to protect themselves in the environments that they live in?
Yeah, this is a really important question. So in those situations, and we have to be honest and practical about that, there are people who live in congregated settings, who live where they don't perhaps have their own room or it's not as easy to isolate. We're working with each of those providers, with the prison service, with the direct provision services, with our nursing home providers, to make sure that the physical distancing is absolutely in place. We're also making sure that where somebody gets sick and it needs to be isolated, that we can provide an isolation space or facility for those people.
So what does that mean?
Well, you'll have heard in recent days we've been talking about trying to ensure that we can secure hotel accommodation, and I expect some very good news on that in the coming days. You've seen speculation in relation to specific hotels in recent days. I expect that to be concluded. We also do have spare capacity within our hospitals and are beefing up our hospital capacity further. So if somebody gets ill and is not in a position to adequately isolate, we will ensure that that isolation can take place.
Do Gardaí have the powers to enforce these new laws? Because it's been reported in the Examiner this morning that despite what the public might have been led to believe, Gardaí still don't have the powers outlined in the emergency legislation. They say the bill passed a week ago and enacted by the President last Friday, and that the regulations have yet to be signed for it to give Gardaí the new powers. Can you tell us what's happening there?
Yeah, so a couple of parts to that. So firstly, we've always carried out policing in this country on the basis of consent and community support, and it has been so encouraging to see every time we've asked a somewhere to close or people to comply with public health advice, the overwhelming majority of people have done that because they want to keep their families safe and they want to protect lives and save lives in our country. the Gardaí already have powers, and I've heard the Commissioner talk about this in relation to public order issues, and we have already seen in recent days them use that in terms of asking people to move on and to break up gatherings and the likes where necessary. But you are right, the emergency legislation that the Oireachtas passed in recent days does give me as Minister additional powers, emergency powers, to set regulations. Those regulations are currently being finalised by the Attorney General, and I expect to be in a position to sign them over the course of this weekend.
But you haven't signed them yet, is that right?
We're awaiting them back from the Attorney General's office, who are working around the clock, and I expect to be signing them this weekend. But let's be very clear, the Gardaí already obviously have powers, but this is not about emergency powers. The emergency powers are there for the very few occasions, and there'll always be the few occasions where somebody doesn't comply. The overwhelming amount of people in this country want us to take these measures to keep them safe, to keep their families safe, and to save lives. That's what this is about.
The Taoiseach announced that these measures would come into force as of midnight, and they will last until Easter Sunday, April the 12th. What's your best case scenario for how long these will last, realistically?
So it's the genuine view of the Chief Medical Officer that if we take these measures that we've now put in place, and if we all adhere to them, that we can try by the end of that two-week period to have seen progress in relation to our ICU admissions. So George Lee outlined the situation very well when you were talking to him earlier. We have seen some progress already in relation to the rate of growth in new cases, though it's far too early to in any way be encouraged. We've also seen that the number of people, when someone is diagnosed with COVID-19, the number of close contacts they've had has been significantly reduced, showing that people are socially distancing. The next thing we now have to do and must do is try and reduce the number of admissions to our ICU. Now, over the next number of days, we're going to see that significantly rise, because remember, people who are admitted to ICU over the next week probably already have this infection. But we would expect, and our medical advisors would expect, that these measures that we've now put in place could start to slow down that curve in about 10 days to 2 weeks. That's what we're working towards. Will we be in a position on the 12th of April where life in Ireland can return to normal? Absolutely not. Let's be honest with each other. These are measures that we're going to need to continue to work at. Do we hope to be in a position in 2 weeks' time to say that we've made progress and some of the measures can be tweaked, removed, changed? Absolutely. The measures that we put in place last night are so significant that they cannot be kept in place for too long. You cannot ask people to sustain this for a very long period of time. That's why we are really asking people to double down now for the next 2 weeks. It's going to be tough. I know if you're living at home and you're all, you know, a big busy family in a house and the kids are crawling the walls and the schools are off and perhaps people are losing their jobs. This is a very stressful and anxious time for people. But we do have to strip back all of the noise and actually remind each other what we're trying to do here. We're trying to keep each other alive and we're trying to make sure we don't go the way that some other European countries have done. And when we look back on this, and we will look back on this at some point, we will get through this at some point, we want to be able to say that the measures we all took together were really tough, but helped keep us alive and well.
Simon Harris, Minister for Health, thank you for speaking to us this morning.